This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. We begin with a story about military secrets, prestigious research institutions, and cyber warfare. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that MIT and more than two dozen other universities have been targeted by Chinese hackers. Almost all of the schools have been working with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, or HUI, on Cape Cod. The hackers' goal is to steal maritime technology being developed for military use, for example, a submarine program codenamed Sea Dragon. The journal story is based on a report by iDefense, which is a cybersecurity unit of Accenture Security. Howard Marshall is Accenture's intelligence director, and he joins me now from San Francisco. Howard, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Callum. Happy to be here.
So, Howard, could you just give us some basics? Like, how did your firm determine in the first place that these attempted hacks were happening?
So, iDefense has been monitoring these advanced persistent threats for two decades, and so the research effort into them is constant and ongoing. We have some very unique optics that allowed us to uncover some of this information, and just through a process of really good analytic tradecraft, we were able to get a bigger, better sight picture on the overall campaign.
And so you see what? You see communication with the university servers and China, or something like that?
We see beaconing activity back to command and control nodes. We were able to put some of that information together with open source intelligence that allowed us to create the visibility we have.
So based on what you found then, Howard, what were the hackers after and why?
So this is not, unfortunately, it's not something new. The scope of this is significant, but it's not, it shouldn't be surprising to any of your listeners to understand the value of DOD intelligence and information as it pertains to weapon systems. It doesn't matter which branch of the service it is. That information getting into the hands of any nation-state adversary is incredibly valuable, both in terms of understanding what the United States government is doing, but also in respect to maybe providing light years forward in terms of research and development. So it's incredibly valuable information for any nation state.
Well, you know, as we mentioned, that these 27 universities, most of them had some connection to HUI. But I think when our listeners, and certainly I think about the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, Howard, I primarily think about sort of an environmental and conservation type of work that they're doing. So explain how they fit in here from a defense aspect.
So I'll take a half step back from that question and just look at maybe the bigger picture. In this case, it's HUI, but the broader scope of the issue is the massive number of people and organizations involved in the supply chain within the DOD. It is impossible for the federal government to do all of this work on its own, and in fact, maybe even not wise, just because there's such a tremendous wealth of specialized information that's created out there. So it's research initiatives, it's data, it's stuff that they may be that in this case HUI, but any of these other supply chain participants could be doing that may be focused on their particular niche research project, but may inform a broader DOD effort. The scope is endless.
I see. And there can often be overlap there, right? That work that can be environmental can also have a defense application. I do want to point out we did reach out to HUI for comment, and they said in part, despite speculation published in a March 5th article in the Wall Street Journal, the institution has seen no evidence of any significant security breach since the implementation of a robust cybersecurity system in 2015. So Howard, how do you respond to their response? I mean, they are saying it's not they don't see a significant security breach. That's not a flat denial. What do you see?
Well, I think the journal article sums it up very, very nicely, and I'm very empathetic to their position. I left government service 6-7 months ago. Nobody wants to be victims of a cyber attack, regardless of whether they're a public or private sector. It's a difficult place for them to be, as it would for anybody else.
How about the universities or the Navy, the Department of Defense? I mean, what kind of responses have you heard from them today?
So I've not talked to any of them directly. At least not today. I'm certain are aware of this as an issue. They are on guard against it all the time. It's a significant problem that needs to be managed by the DOD. So they're probably not the least bit surprised.
Well, as you said, it's nothing new, and the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution did have to shut down its computer network for several hours back in 2015 in response to what it called an aggressive cyber attack that it believed also came from China. And it said at that time, Howard, that, quote, Huey thwarts malicious computer attacks from around the world every day. So that gives us a sense of the scope of the issue here. Does that continue now? We're 4 years later. I imagine that hasn't really abated.
If anything, it's gotten worse, Callum.
And what do you mean by that? I mean, is it spear phishing campaigns? Is it something else? And how can it be, perhaps, that some of these institutions and universities don't even know that a cyber attack is underway?
Well, that's part of what it is that the attackers are trying to accomplish, is presence on a network without being detected. As technology changes and evolves, we like to think that helps the defensive posture of those trying to protect networks, but it also creates new attack vectors for adversaries. So it's a constant game of cat and mouse, and unfortunately, that's probably underplaying the importance of it. At least at this, at this level, when you're talking about national security and nation-state adversaries. So it's a constant back and forth as technology evolves and as different nation-states place a higher and higher priority on their cyber abilities, we have to learn how to play better defense.
So how do we do that, Howard? I mean, what kind of recommendations can you give to academic and research centers for how they can prevent cyber attacks?
Well, at the highest possible level, it really is about understanding the importance of security as it pertains to everything it is you're doing, right? So you need to have a very forward-leaning, strategic approach that's driven by intelligence. So you understand what it is you're protecting. You understand how you need to protect it, but it's not something that you can successfully mitigate by playing whack-a-mole, right? You can't just constantly respond to incident detection. You have to understand where the adversary is coming from, what they're interested in order to be able to successfully prevent it and mitigate it. So I would tell you it's more about the approach to security as a whole, as opposed to just say, okay, it's just going to be blocking and tackling, and it's just going to be shutting things down at a firewall. There's a combination of both, both IT security and physical security. It needs to be a holistic approach. It's not easy to do, and that's why the adversary is successful.
Howard Marshall is the Intelligence Director of Accenture Security. His firm's work was featured in the Wall Street Journal today about Chinese hacking. Howard, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Cal.
All right, for another perspective, let's turn to Joel Brenner. He worked on cybersecurity issues under Presidents Bush and Obama at the National Security Agency. He was also the head of U.S. counterintelligence under the Director of National Intelligence, and he's now a senior research fellow at MIT. Joel Brenner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks. Glad to be back on the show.
So, Joel, as we were just talking about with Howard, I mean, Chinese hacking groups trying to steal military secrets isn't exactly a new development. So what stands out to you in today's reporting about Woods Hole and its academic partners?
Well, look, the revelation of the details is really interesting. iDefense has done some good work here. But as Mr. Marshall was saying, the Chinese targeting of universities for defense-related technology as well as commercial technology isn't new, and I'm glad to see the reporting coming out in the journal, because I think the public doesn't understand these things in the abstract, and when they see this stuff in specific detail, it tends to sink in better. I mean, there are a number of reasons why universities are targeted heavily by foreign intelligence services, particularly the Chinese. First of all, universities are really soft targets. The ethos in a university is openness, and students and faculty tend to be indifferent to security in many respects. The university's bread and butter is basic research, which by definition and by law cannot be classified. The classified stuff was pushed off of, say, MIT's campus back in the 70s into Lincoln Labs. And you've also got foreign students in a lot of campus labs who, in some cases, have been pressured by the Chinese government to work with them and to be disloyal to their employer. So that's why the targets are soft. But okay, but why then do you want to get into a university if it's simply doing unclassified research? And the answer to that is that the Chinese figured out quite some time ago that the difference between late-stage basic research and early-stage applied classified research is frankly rather arbitrary. And that if they could get access to late-stage basic research while it's still in the university in a low-security environment, they could really go to town on us. And that's what they've been doing. When I was running counterintelligence for the DNI back in 2007, say, we were seeing this. This is their sweet spot. They get the results of advanced research before it moves back into DOD and gets classified and therefore harder to steal. That's to say, before open research disappears into black space. And who's paying for their research and development budget? We are. We're paying for it. And they're getting the benefit of it. We've been seeing the Chinese operating this way for at least the last 12 years.
And what else, Joel, do we know that they may have already been able to sweep up? I mean, this is one example of a maritime military secrets in particular. But to the extent you can talk about what you observed in your own tenure in government, what other technology has the Chinese government already acquired through these kinds of hacking efforts?
Well, the maritime stuff is of particular interest to them, and it's not surprising. What separates the United States and China is the Pacific Ocean. And if, God forbid, there were a war with the Chinese, which might be a real disaster for everybody, it would be a heavily naval engagement. So naval technology has been at the forefront of their concern. We know, for example, that they've targeted the Navy's quiet electric drive. An American attack submarine is longer than a city block and quieter than a Lexus sedan. And that's enormously important for the Navy because it means that our subs can operate undetected by most sonar equipment. Once that technology gets into Chinese hands, and I believe it is now in Chinese hands, they have submarines now that are quiet and hard for us to detect. They've also stolen the radar, Aegis radar, on some of our most advanced warships. This theft, in both cases, and others I can't talk about, would cost American lives if there were a war. This is serious stuff. And, of course, most people don't think of universities as having anything to do with defense work anymore, since at least classified defense work, because it's not what they do. But as I've explained, there is the dichotomy that we have between basic research and applied or classified applied research that's eligible for classification is just too simple. This is not an on-off switch. We now know, and the government's, the FBI has known for quite a while, that, and the Navy's known for a long time, that there is this middle-stage research which we've got to do a much better job of protecting. And I think that is both a legal issue that we have to carve out a category that's eligible to be done on campus, but which, when research is deemed to move into this category, it has to be protected more severely. And the universities need to work with DOD to develop protocols on how this middle-level research is handled. I remember seeing a case back in 2007 or 8, where there was an attack on a government lab, on a Navy lab, involving some very sophisticated technology that very late-stage basic research, not classified, open, easy to get into the building, but it was exactly what the Chinese needed, and they were really trying to steal it. After that, if they had the technology, it then becomes just an engineering challenge of how do you miniaturize this stuff to be able to put it on a ship. That's a significant issue. But the problem they hadn't been able to figure out was how this technology worked, and it was unclassified. So that's why I say we need to get much better at thinking about and protecting this middle stage research.
But tricky to do, as you say, because the university environment is collegial by design, and you don't want to lose that either. That's Joel Brenner, former head of U.S. counterintelligence in the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, now a senior research fellow at MIT. Joel, thanks a lot for being with us.
You bet.
Stay with us. Coming up, we're remembering a moment in the life of Jassy Correa, the 23-year-old Lynn woman found dead last week. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.